Amen. We exalt the Lord this morning. So thankful for the refreshing of His Holy Spirit, His presence. His word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is good news to us. Your actions have no bearing on His presence. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we sometimes think that when we're good and got it all together, God's with us. But when we aren't good or don't have it all together, He's somewhere far away. But how many know He's probably even stronger in your life when you don't have it all together? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? That my actions, that His love supersedes my actions. That His power supersedes my weakness. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for a very present God today. I'm thankful for the community of faith, for the household of faith. I was thinking this morning coming down, there is no substitute for the gathering together of the church, the gathering of the saints. And I know you can have church anywhere you want to have church, and God is everywhere. But I'm so thankful for a community of faith. I'm so thankful for a community of believers. I'm thankful for the coming together, the gathering, because I need you. You need me. I love corporate worship. I love the word that is stirred in our hearts when somebody says a testimony or somebody gives a word or somebody has something to say and it stirs something in your heart or drops a thought in your mind and God begins to make that thing build. And my prayer always is, Lord, when we come together, let us not just hear a word, but let's be changed by that word. Let it spark something in us, spark a desire not only to hear the word, but that when we leave this place that we can impart that word to someone else. I mean, people are waiting to hear what you know. And they're waiting to hear a word from the Lord. If ever there is a season where people need to know that God is still God, God is in charge, God is not mad at you, God is mad about you, He loves you. For God so loved the world. And when many want to preach an angry God, I still want to preach for God so loved the world that He gave the best of heaven. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. You need to know that today. But that the world through Him might be saved. COVID is not God's condemnation. All the chaos that's happening right now is not God's condemnation. And I believe that we are still one nation under God, and that the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of His kingdom. There shall be, somebody say, no end today. No end. And that's what I believe today, and that's what I stand on. You know, the gospel that we preach must be applicable in our life. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to believe it and to act on it and to walk in it. I believe in the peace of God because I've experienced the supernatural peace of God. I believe in the power of the Comforter because I've experienced the supernatural power of the Comforter in my life. And I honestly just don't know how I would do life without it. And because of that, I want everybody to know about it, that there is a peace that passes all understanding. It's what the Word says. It's what the Scripture declares to us. And so that's what we live by, and that's what we stand on. And so for the last season here in the church, for the last weeks, when, you know, a lot of the early things, when a lot of the chaos and things like that broke out, and a lot of things that was going on and happening, you know, as a pastor, I began to pray, and I said, Lord, what do You want me to say in this season? What are You saying right now in the midst of all of this, and what do You want me to say? And I felt like the Lord said to me, arise and build. And that was the scripture He dropped in my heart out of Nehemiah. He said, because it's not what you say as much as what you build that will change people or change lives. And so I felt like the Lord spoke to me to rise and build. And we went into this season right on the heels of Pentecost when we gathered for our first time after COVID and being in quarantine. And how many know on the day of Pentecost in the upper room when they were all in one accord? Let me tell you what, there were 120 people in attendance in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. The Comforter, Jesus said when he spoke to the disciples, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter to you. You're not orphaned. You're not left alone. I will send the Comforter to you. And so then on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, Jesus told them to assemble themselves together in one mind, in one spirit, in an upper room. And said, and they, as they were in one mind and one spirit in upper room, there came a sound from heaven. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear the sound from the heaven because I don't like what I'm hearing from the earth. But when I began to hear a sound from heaven, they said there was a sound that came from heaven, and it was a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. And when it filled the house, it set upon them as in cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were others around them, Medes and Parthians, and from every nation around them, and said, we heard them in our own language. Can I just tell you today that the sound from heaven is a language that everyone can understand? But when 120 people get together with a mind to worship the Lord, how many know the Holy Ghost was present? And we might think sometimes, well, what could this small congregation do, or what could this little gathering of people do? What could be the impact of this? But how many know Peter stands up out of that congregation of 120 and stands up and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And how many know out of that 120 in that upper room, 3,000 souls come to give their heart to Jesus? Never underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. It is the dynamite, the dunamis power of God inside of you, that when God begins to fill your mouth or your words or your lips and you begin to speak, how many know people are looking? They're looking for that power. They're looking for that. And I said to a pastor just this week, I said, I believe in this season, what God is about to do is to rekindle and stir the gifts and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I say to you this morning, get ready. Get ready. The power of the Holy Spirit is yours. It's in you. All you have to do is open your mouth and let it out. Hallelujah. It's there. It is the power of God that's within you. But I believe God wants to stir our services. He wants to stir our families. He wants to stir our hearts with the power of presence of His Holy Spirit. It's not just about coming and having church. It's coming and being church. Because who knows that you might be the ignition. You might be the spark of the fire that charges, that ignites this house and causes the power of the Holy Spirit to break out. In this house, there are giftings of anointings, gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues, gifts of knowledge and healing all throughout this house. Don't withhold your gifts from the house. Hallelujah. But be sensitive to the spirit of what God wants to do in this house, in this season. Amen. Somebody say, bring it on. Now say it like you mean it. Bring it on. Hallelujah. I was praying this morning over a couple of folks, and it was one of them, sick 'em, Holy Ghost. Go get them, Holy Ghost. Visit them in their dreams. Visit them in their car. Visit them on their job. Visit them at the grocery store. Visit them in their house. Visit them wherever you can visit them, Lord, but don't leave them alone until that heart is drawn to the closeness of your presence that God desires for them. Amen? Amen. And I believe it. I know He can do it. I'm a result. I'm a recipient of that. Hallelujah. And I know the power of one person to make a change and the ripple effect that that can bring, because somebody stood up and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe you can make that declaration over your house. And I don't care what you see right now. I don't care what you see right now. I said, yeah, but I don't care what you see right now. As a matter of fact, you have a responsibility to stand up and say, as for me and my house, I make the declaration that we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. My mom and dad prayed over us in our teen years and did not settle for anything less than our hearts being joined to the gift and calling of God in our life until it came to pass. I choose to do the same. Amen? Amen. Well, we talked about a lot of gates. We talked about the sheep gate, and we talked about the fish gate, and we talked about different gates in the scripture. But today I want to talk about the valley gate a little bit in Nehemiah. And remember that the city of Jerusalem was in ruins. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they were living. The word Babylon means confusion. And so they were living in captivity to confusion. Anybody, you know anybody like that? Living in captivity to confusion. There's a lot of people held captive right now to confusion and fear that are the dominant voices in them. But how many know there was somebody named Nehemiah whose name means the comforter, who rose up and said, I cannot settle for God's house, God's city of Jerusalem to be laying in ruins. I will arise and I will build and I will petition the king. And so he began to petition the king, and he began to say, I want to go and build back the things that are sacred to me. I want to establish the gates of the city. How many know gates either let you in or they let you out? Right? They either keep you in or they keep you out. A gate is an entrance in and out of something. And so when Nehemiah went to survey the city and he saw the place of the city, he began to petition the king to begin to build back those things that were important. How many know in this season there has been some dismantling of some things? Some things maybe need to be dismantled, but there's some things that have been torn down that need to be reestablished. And we talked about in that the old gate. The old gate was some things of where the elders would sit and they would reason and they would make decisions for the people. And when I think about the old gate, there's some things that are some Old Testament that how many know Jesus fulfilled and established a new covenant and a new testament. But I believe there's some old things. I'm just old school enough to believe that I still believe in being born again. How many can say I know the moment when Jesus came into my heart? I know when he saved me. I know the feeling that came over me that when I said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. That's all I said. I was just a little girl. But if it was good enough for my mama, it was good enough for me. And how many know at the age of 3 or 4 years old, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come into my heart, and I knew God had saved me. Thousands upon thousands of kids have come past this altar and received Jesus as their personal Savior, got filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe in being saved. I believe in being born again. I believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe in the giftings of the Spirit. I believe in giving and tithing. I believe in being faithful. I believe in serving the kingdom. All of those things might seem old school to some. And there's some of those things that people want to cast. Those are that we say they're legalistic, and that's under the law, and we're under grace. But I want to tell you, that very grace of God is what's brought me to where I am. And those things I hold sacred, and those are some things that I hold before God and say, this is important to me. And so Nehemiah began to, when he began to survey the city, he began at the valley gate. And the valley gate was repaired by Hanun and the residents of Zenoa. They rebuilt it. This is Nehemiah 3:13. They rebuilt it and put its doors and their bolts and bars in place. They also repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. As I said to you before, the gates keep things out or let things in. I mean, no, your ears and your eyes and your heart is a gate. Amen? They're the gates into your mind or into your heart. How many know there's some things that you can't unsee? There's some things you can't unhear. And there's some things you need to guard what comes into your gates and what goes out of your gates. There's some things I don't let into my gates because I know how hard it is to get it back out of there. Yeah. Amen? There's some things that I don't like my grandkids and things to see or to hear or to look at or to dwell on, because once you get them in there, you can't get them out of there. Amen? It's a whole lot easier to protect the gates of your mind, protect the gates of your heart and your city, than it is to do all the repair after you've let it in there. So there are some things that we've got to guard with our heart. The name Hanun, I'm not sure how you say that, means gracious, merciful, or grace. How many know grace built the valley gate? He restored the valley gate. The name Hanun means grace. The comforter, which is Nehemiah, surveyed it. The comforter surveyed it, and grace said, I'll build it. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God today? Grace builds a gate. Grace gives you an entrance into the city of God, into the Jerusalem. Not just a city. I'm not talking about a city over there in Israel. I'm talking about a new Jerusalem. I'm talking the power and the presence and the city of God of whom you are. But I want to read a little bit out of Isaiah 40 this morning. I don't know how far I'll get on this, and that's okay. But Isaiah 40, 3 through 5 in the NIV says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then on down to verse 28 of that same chapter says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But, everybody say but. That word but means behold, unveiling truth. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar, or King James says they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. How many know a lot of times we find people who began their journey or their even coming to Jesus, they begin at the valley gate. They begin at a low place. And when we think about the valley, we think of that as being a low place or, a lot of times it was just a crag in the rock. It was the low part of where the stream might go through. And when a shepherd would take his sheep through the valley, he would take them through these little winding paths that a lot of times would become creeks. But even in that low place, that was where the best grass was. And that's where because the sun would dry up the high places of the mountain, but in the low places there would be the grasses that the sheep could eat from. And as I was thinking about this, of course when you think about the scripture, there's a lot of valleys in the scripture. Has anybody ever gone through a valley season in your life? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but some people live in a perpetual valley. Amen. It just seems like one thing after another comes. There are some places. Everybody loves the high places, right? But there are some times that you have to go, we go through some low places in life. But what we know and understand that is in the valley that he restores my soul. Psalms 23 says it so powerfully. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil till my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many know that even through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil? Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You remember that the rod and the staff of the shepherd was to keep the wild animals and the pestilence and all of the things that would hinder the sheep or were threats to the sheep. He would keep those away. But one of the powerful things about this scripture to me, when the Lord dropped this in my heart some time ago, he said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. How many know if you operate out of an anointed head or an anointed mind or anointed thinking, that everything that has to pass through your thought pattern, everything that has to pass through your mind, everything that has to pass through your thinking must first pass through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And there's a whole lot of times when things would want to come to my mind or come into my spirit, and I would say, you know what? That don't line up with the anointing. That don't line up with my shepherd's oil. That doesn't line up. That's just stinking thinking. That's a whole kind of mindset, and it don't go. My head is anointed. My thoughts are anointed. My steps are anointed. My feet are anointed. And I do not have to live in a state of despair or anxiety, or depression, or be overwhelmed. Hallelujah. How many know Asaph said, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. How many know if you're complaining till your spirit is overwhelmed, you're not living out of a place where your head is anointed with oil? Because there's an anointing of the saints that sometimes I got to change gears in my head. Amen. There's sometimes when I got to change gears in my head and say, no, I'm not going there. I will not allow those thoughts to pass through my mind. It said, he anoints my head with oil. And if you know anything about the sheep, you know that they anointed the head of the sheep because they were aggravated by nose flies. And the nose flies would get in the nose holes of the sheep, and they would lay eggs in there. And those eggs would hatch, and when they did, they would go into the nostrils and the eyes and the ears of the sheep, and they would so torment them until they would bang their head on a rock, or they would throw themselves off of a cliff to get relief from the nose flies. I don't know if you've ever been in a state where you wanted to bang your head on a rock or throw yourself off a cliff. But how many know there's some things that will bug you and will drive you crazy if you allow them in your nose, your ears, your eyes? But how many are thankful for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that it can anoint your head for nose flies, that those things that bug you have got to go in Jesus' name? Yep. Hallelujah. I don't fear the valley because I know my shepherd knows the way. I know that my shepherd is in charge. He anoints my head with oil. Not just my head, but my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy are pursuing you today. Surely goodness and mercy are following you. It's got your back today. I refuse to be pursued by gloom, despair, and agony on me. I refuse to let that be my song in the night. I choose to worship. I choose to bless the Lord. David spoke to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. There's sometimes you got to stir up the giftings and the anointings of the Holy Spirit in your mind and in your heart and say, today I choose to focus on the goodness of God. I choose to live in a place of anointing. I refuse to live in the land of the desolate. I refuse to make the valley my new address. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Psalms 84, 4 through 7, out of the Amplified Bible, I believe it is. And I shared this on a quick devotion a couple weeks ago on Facebook, not knowing how much I would need to rely on this scripture. But it says, blessed and greatly favored are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all the day long. Selah. That means stop and think about that for a moment. Blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, passing through. Everybody say passing through. Not moving in, not setting up camp, but passing through the valley of weeping, or Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. I love that. That when you pass through the valley of Baca or the valley of weeping, not only pass through it, but they cause that desert and desolate place to be a place of springs and a place of life and a place of water and a place of rivers that break forth. The scripture says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, be strong, for behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come and with a recompense. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, for in the wilderness shall water spring out and streams in the desert. Hello, streams. Hello, fountains. Yep. How many know when the woman came to the well the day to talk to Jesus, she came with empty and came with an empty bucket, but when she left as an artesian well, and she went back to a city and told them all things ever. I must have met the Messiah today. Hallelujah. You know, I shared this week at Mom's homegoing that my mom always resembled to me the woman who came to the well. She came empty. She came broken. She came worthless. She came with no value. But when she came to a well that Jesus sat down on her well one day and said, ma'am, if you would just ask me for a drink, I could give you a drink of water and you would never thirst again. And she said, sir, how could you ever give me a drink? But in a little Nazarene church down on Harrison Avenue, she gave in and said, I'll take a drink of whatever you've had. We've drank everything else there was, and it never satisfied, but I'll take a drink of that water. And when she did, she not only got a drink for herself, but she said, I'm going to go back to my family. I'm going to go back to my village. I'm going to go back to my town, and I'm going to tell them about this man who told me all things about myself. He knew all about me, and he loved me anyway. And because of that drink, not only did her village come to hear about Jesus, but the nations of the earth have heard about a little town in Berkeley Springs. Hallelujah. Lynn shared at the funeral that he'd heard from all over the world of people condolences when Mom passed away. I don't say that in bragging. I don't say that to give accolades. I say to you today, you may think your choice to be here and to have your kids in church and to make the commitment to God really doesn't matter or won't affect anybody. But I'm going to tell you, that little lady said one day, I've had enough and I need a drink of something that will give me life. I need something that's going to bring some water in the desert. I need a drink of something that is life-giving. Because you can come to the well all you want to, and you can come to church all you want to, and you can sit in a pew all you want to, but if you don't drink it in, and you don't make a commitment, and you don't sell out to the man who owns the well and sits on that well, you'll come thirsty and you'll leave thirsty. But if you ever encounter the man who needed to sit down and have a talk with you one day, he will give you a drink. And when he does, your dry and thirsty land can be changed. Your house can be changed. Your kids can be changed. Your relationship, your marriages can be changed. Because we know the power of the man who sat on that well. I want to tell you, you might pass through the valley of weeping. You might pass through Baca. But I want to tell you this, that when Baca or that well, that valley of weeping sees you coming, they're all saying, get ready for change. Get ready for change, because if the anointed ever pass through the valley of weeping, they're not going to leave it the way they came. They're going to pass through with an anointing that changes and leaves gullies and gushes of living water every place they go. There's a scripture in there. I'll go ahead and read it, I guess. There's a valley of Gerar. Go down, Lisa, to Genesis chapter 26, 16 through 22. And this is a scripture of, if you remember in the Bible, that Abraham dug many wells. Yeah. And they would dig wells. And then they would have water. How many know most of our towns, our cities, our lives, all of those things are built around water. They built towns on water so that they could bring, you know, things down the canals, and they could bring resources in, and that you could ship, you know, things in and out next to the water. How many know water is a source of life? And so the patriarchs of old would dig wells in the desert and in the wilderness and in the places. And in Genesis 26, 16 through 22, it says, then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. I mean, Abimelech and Isaac separated themselves because God had favor on Isaac, and he kept increasing in wealth and notoriety, and they knew and recognized that the grace of God was on him. How many of they finally decided to separate themselves from Isaac? Be careful what you separate from. Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away from here and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father, Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. How many are glad that there's a well of fresh water even in the valley places? But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water's ours. So he named the well Essek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land. How many know Isaac's name means laughter? And there are times in your life where it feels like your wells are getting, what the Philistines were doing was filling their wells full of dirt. And they were constant. They would dig a well and they would fill it full, and Isaac would move over and he'd dig another well. And they would fill it full of dirt and he would move over and they would dig another well. I want to tell you this morning, though, that laughter digs in the valley. You might be in a valley, but you don't have to stay in the valley. Laughter digs in the valley of Gerar. If the Philistines try to fill your well with dirt, move along and dig again. Are you in a valley? Dig. Leave a trail of wells behind you. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. There's sometimes when things come against you, or you face obstacles, or you face opposition, and it feels like you are dry or parched, or feels like you just need a good drink of water. But it's in those times that we dig down deep. How many know that's the times when deep calls the deep? When you reach deep down inside of you and say, Holy Spirit, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And there's times that in the valley that you got to get out the shovel and say, I'm going to dig because I know there's water here. But what I love about Isaac is laughter digs a well, and it leaves a line of wells behind him, because every time Isaac faced adversity or faced opposition, he would move over and dig another well. And then he would face opposition, he'd move over and he'd dig another well. And he'd face opposition and he'd move over and he'd dig another well. Here's what I want to tell you. To today, you might walk through some things, but do it with your shovel in your hand. And when you get there, dig a well in a dry and thirsty place so that everywhere you walk, there's a well, there's a line of wells and a stream of water behind you, because somebody going to come back and find out there's a well here. Somebody dug a well, and somebody dug a well here, and somebody dug a well here. And I can laugh my way through adversity because I know I've left a stream of water behind me, and that there are wells of water and living water even in desert and deserted places. Hallelujah. I choose laughter over sorrow. I choose to rejoice. You know, we sing that song, I will rejoice. I mean, no, you have to choose to rejoice. You have to choose laughter. You have to choose anointing. And sometimes you've got to dig down for it a little bit. I thought about the scripture of Ezekiel when he comes to the valley of old dry bones. And so he brought him out in the spirit. He said, he was caught up in the spirit. He brought him to the valley of old dry bones. And God began to speak to Ezekiel, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see a valley of dry bones, and they are very dry. He said, no, what do you see? He said, I see brokenness. I see deserts. I see despair. I see chaos. I see racial upheaval. I see viruses. I see sickness. I see murder hornets. I see hurricanes. I see tornadoes. What do you see, Ezekiel? Come on, somebody. What do you see? What do you see? Lord, I see chaos. I see a school year about to start. I see death. I see despair. I see hurting people everywhere. And God says to me again, what do you see? He said, begin to prophesy. And what he spoke to me was a prophesy and say, arise and build. Say, but God, I don't see anything but despair. I see death. I see, what do you mean prophesy? It's hard enough to prophesy over people who are living, much less prophesy over people who are dead. And he said, I began to prophesy to the wind, and I began to prophesy, blow, O wind, blow from the north, blow from the south, blow from the east, and blow from the west. And he said, when I begin to proclaim something different out of my mouth besides despair and death and dry bones, all of a sudden bones started to rattle, and something started to move, and energy started to take place, and all of a sudden what I thought was dead and forsaken, all of a sudden starts to get life in them. And when I start to see life, I start to prophesy more. And when I see things start to change, I start to prophesy more. And the more I prophesy, the more I see bones come together, the more I see life happen. And before I know it, what I didn't see in the valley, as they said, it stood up as an exceeding great army. I couldn't see the army for the dry bones. I couldn't see God's people for all the despair and the chaos going on. But when I began to change my song, Sister Jenny, when I began to live out of the anointing that God anointed my head with, when I started to dig some wells in the valley, all of a sudden I began to prophesy something other than what I saw with my eyes. I started to see with my spirit, and I began to stand up and prophesy, and lo and behold, bones started to come together, and sinew to sinew, and they stood up an exceeding great army. I believe there's an exceeding great army in this church today. I believe there's an exceeding great army across this nation today. And I refuse to prophesy to death and despair. I'm going to start prophesying to the wind. I'm going to start prophesying and speaking to the heavens, because I choose to hear from the heavens and not the earth. I choose to hear from the anointing and not the news. I quit getting my information from Facebook, and I started getting my information from my GPS system. Yeah. I started believing the word of the Lord. I started reminding myself what a miracle-working God we own, that we know and owns us, that we have the miracle worker. I said something to my husband the other day, and we were talking about something. He said, don't you limit God's miracles in my life. I said, all right, preach it, sister. Preach it, brother. I'll take it. Bring it on, because if you get the miracle, I'm just a recipient of that. And we quit talking defeat and despair and start talking. We know how big our God is. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know what you're crying out for today. I don't know what you're looking for, but don't you sell yourself short. And don't you focus on the death in the valley. You stand up. You stand up and start to prophesy and say, my valley is temporary, but in the middle of my valley, I will dig wells. I will anoint my head with oil, and I will prophesy to the wind, and I will declare, hear ye the word of the Lord. And when I do, somebody starts to stand up with me. Somebody starts to stand to their feet. Somebody starts to declare the word. Come on, Sister Jenny. Somebody starts to stand up and say, I'm going to prophesy with you. I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to dig. I'm going to live out of my anointing, and I'm going to prophesy, because I declare our better days are yet to come. Our best days are ahead of us, and I will not live in desolation. I will not live in despair. I'm going to live out of the anointing that God has called me. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet this morning. If you believe it, say, I receive it. I declare it. I'm going to walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 I prophesy to the wind today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blow from the north and the south and the east and the west. Hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika telalamo hundai. Rima mama hundai shika telalamo hundai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just go ahead and praise him in tongues. Go ahead and give him some glory today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Kuranda moko sika telala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika telala mohandai. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we receive from your hands. Father, we prophesy out of this house today, Father. We prophesy life. We prophesy to an exceeding great army, Father, as we begin to stand up bone over bone, bone upon bone, sinew on sinew, Father. In Jesus' name, we declare a turnaround season. Hallelujah. Streams in the desert, wells in the valley. Hallelujah. We are an anointed and appointed vessel unto you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A river
whose streams may glad the city of our God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There Thank is you, Jesus. A river whose
streams we bless you, Jesus.
May glad
hallelujah, hallelujah.
The city
Thank you,
of
Jesus.
Our God. So why